The biblical invitation. It sits on more coffee tables than coffee does. It gathers more dust than the nightstand. And yet, if opened and read and allowed to speak, it can change the dirtiest and darkest of hearts. It's the Bible, the gift of the Holy Scripture. We sang about it earlier today. Yes, that's the book for me. I stand alone on the Word of God, the Bible. The testimony of God's Word written upon our hearts for the purpose of teaching, reproofing, correcting, training us in righteousness, and equipping us for good works. What role today does the Bible play in your life? An old pastor friend of mine tells a story of his first years of ministry in the hills of eastern Kentucky. He says his parishioners were people of humble origins and means. They were mostly educated, he said, yet they were vibrant in their faith. And one Sunday afternoon, he said, he decided to go calling, to go visiting upon these folks. As he entered the first house in the hollow, he was warmly welcomed. The young couple invited him to sit at the table. And there lay a beautiful, huge family Bible. It was obviously well used and deeply treasured. And when my friend left and went to the next house, he was astonished to find a large, beautiful family Bible that looked suspiciously like the one that he had seen at the first house. As he made his way to the next house, he noticed a young boy hiding behind trees in back of the houses and running ahead of him with that very same Bible under his arms. You see, they had but one Bible, and they shared it. What roles does the Bible play in your life? What is this book that you and I read week after week, which upon we seek to model our very lives? Is it just a list of to-dos, to do and don't do, the do's and don'ts of the Bible? Is it an answer book to every question we have? Is it just ancient history? Or does it bring a Word of God that speaks to the very depths of our lives? To be sure, there are laws and commands within the Bible that are to give us shape to our lives and the way that we live. The psalmist speaks of how God's law revived his soul and enlightened his eyes. How it makes us feel, how it brings new life. He speaks of how God's Word serves as a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path, and how much more God's commands are to be desired than much fine gold. It says, sweeter than honey is how he speaks of the laws and guidance of God. Are those things that you know, are they written upon your heart and your soul? Do they guide your footsteps? Are they there for you? But is there more to the Bible than laws and commands? Yes. Oh yes, there's quite more. There is a story. Oh, it's a magnificent story. It's a grand story. And the Bible seeks to tell us this story. Oh, you and I need to know the whole story to understand any part of the story. We need to know how it ends. As people will tell you, say, well, you know, I've read the book, I know how it ends. But are you living the book? Are you doing what it says? Eugene Peterson says, it takes the whole Bible to read any part of the Bible. And it is a story that has changed the course of history. It is a story that has transformed lives and continues to transform lives today. The young, the old, the educated, the uneducated. It changes our lives. Gregory the Great of the 6th century said, Scripture is like a river, broad and deep, shallow enough for the lamb to go wading and deep enough for the elephant to swim. There's great power in those words and great truth. It's a book that contains everything for the youngest to the oldest, for all of us, from the gentlest to the fiercest. The great Protestant reformer Martin Luther said, the Bible is alive. Oh, it speaks to me, he says. It has feet. It runs after me. It has hands and it lays a hold of me. What kind of book could do such a thing? How could a book do such a thing? That it's there for you, that it follows you, that it takes hold of you, that it brings you alive each and every day. Theologian Karl Barth has given us a very helpful image of reading the Bible, as if we are looking out a window. And as we look out that window, we see everyone looking up into the sky. They're shading their eyes from the sun with their hands. The people are excited. Something is happening to them. Something has captured their very hearts. The people outside the window see something about the window that is hidden by the roof. And when we read the Bible correctly, says Barth, you know what? We will want to race outside. We will want to get out of where we are. We will want to race outside and join them in what they are experiencing. We will want to experience more than what the window can show us. See, sometimes we sit inside and look out, because sometimes that's all we can do. But sometimes there is more that we can do. We can get up and get out and do something. Rather than simply reading the words of Scripture and hearing the stories in order to draw truths from them, we will want to get involved in that story and experience the God beyond the window. Where is the God beyond the window? Beyond the mere words of the Bible. You see, this week, you all experienced God beyond the window. You got out and done things. Some of you will do it later this week. Some of you will do it in the days to come when you get out and become the hands and feet of Christ to a hurting and dying world. When you're there doing something for someone else. You see, the Bible story is marvelously exciting. It's full of everything that you've ever seen on a movie screen. It's in there. From murder to adultery, love and hatred, violence and rejection, obedience and idolatry. It's all there and more. It's right in these words, in these pages. Here it is. Many of its stories aren't fit for children. Some of them you wouldn't tell them. But some of them you need to tell them about. But they do speak to our lives. You will find something in the Bible that relates to whatever that you've ever experienced. And because it's in the Bible, that means what? That God can work redemptively in whatever it is that you are experiencing. People will say, well, that Bible's just so old. It has nothing in common with me today. What can it do for me? The Bible has been around for thousands of years. And guess what? God's Word has been there. It's been put in form that it is today. It's for us to read. But the Scriptures have been there. God's Word has been there and passed down through generations through telling the story to each other. Telling the story of their ancestors of Israel. Telling those stories to one another. But in it, it brings great redemptive power, because God says whatever it is you've experienced, the people of Israel experienced it. The people of Judah experienced it. The people of old have been there. The people of the Old and New Testament have lived through it. They've walked through the fire before we ever got there. They know what it's like. They have looked for redemption, and they found it in this Word. In this book, more than any other that shapes our identity is the people of God. In fact, Will Willimon, who is a professor now back at Duke, he's a retired bishop. When the Bible is read from the viewpoint other than its attempt to engender a new people, it is misread, he said. In other words, it's supposed to question us. It's supposed to engage us. It's supposed to get us thinking. We return to this book over and over again to be reminded of who we are and what we are called to do in this world. When we hear Scriptures rightly, says John Burgess, it helps us remember who God really is and who we really are. Rather than giving us truth to defend, the Bible issues us, challenges us. It challenges us to live more faithfully, to be there. We need to know that story. Tell me the story of Jesus, write on my heart every word. Tell me the story most precious, sweetest that ever was heard. Tell me the story it tells us in the songs that we sing and our hymns that we know. You see, it is our livelihood. It is a record of God's dealings with God's people, and it is a living testament as to how God wants to deal with us today. Through it, God speaks. God speaks the words of Scripture. And guess what? John Calvin said they breathe something divine. God's Word breathes something divine. Because it's there. Through the divine breath, the Bible extends to us an invitation. It's always inviting us to come and to learn and to want to know more. To want to do more, to get closer. It is an invitation to enter into its pages and become a believer in God. A follower of Jesus Christ and a member of the people of God. The Bible is our entrance into the world of God, into the realm of the kingdom of Christ Jesus, where God is present in power and grace, redeeming our lives and redeeming the world. You see, we continue coming back to these 66 books again and again because we believe that they are the very words of life. These things that were chosen to be put together, these 66 books that make up this one thing in the canon of the Bible. The biblical invitation is to enter into covenant with God as a part of God's people and learn to see the world differently and live in the world differently. To see it and live differently. The Bible does not call us to remove ourselves from the world, but to immerse ourselves in the world and work to transform the world from within with the love and mercy and justice and compassion of God. He calls us. He asks us. We do not simply learn or study or use Scripture. We take it into our lives in such a way that it comes forth from our lives as acts of love, as cups of cold water, as plates of barbecue and chicken, of pancakes and sausage, acts of mission, acts of healing, and evangelism throughout the world. It comes by extending ourselves to someone else. By entering into covenant with God through the biblical story, we make the story our own. We come to live out of that story. We embrace that story. We make the journey with Abraham and Sarah, departing to a land we do not know. We travel with Israel through the wilderness into the promised land. We allow ourselves to be formed and shaped as God's people. We go with Israel into exile, where our lives and our faith are uprooted. We follow them. We journey with them. And we become like them. And we learn to live differently in a strange land. And then we are led out of exile and learn to begin a life anew. God's Messiah then comes for us to save us. And as the redeemed people of God, we become shaped into the church. You see, the biblical invitation is to covenant of God's promises to Israel and the church made and fulfilled that runs throughout the pages of Scripture. From Noah after the flood to Abraham and his descendants. And those descendants, Israel. My, Israel was not a very good people. Israel would repeatedly be unfaithful to that covenant. They would break it again and again. And God would always call them back until finally God decided upon a new covenant, a new way of relating to us. And it was the way of suffering love. The way of the cross that was found in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He made the ultimate sacrifice to give His Son so that we could have life in heaven everlasting. It's the greatest story ever told. It's a story that we need to tell again and again. It's a story we need to live out. It's a story that we need to share with the children from the beginning to the end. You see, the biblical invitation is to enter into covenant with God and God's people through Jesus Christ. God's new covenant with the world. You see, we live in that covenant as we live in the pages of the Bible, making the biblical story our own, drawing us into the presence of God, transforming our lives. Let us pray. Lord, we thank You this day for Your Word. We thank You, Lord, for all that You have done, all that You have done. We thank You for the words that we find in Your holy Word that draw us to You, that draw us closer, that remind us each and every day of who it is You have called us to be. Lord, when that biblical invitation is presented, allow us to come forth and to know. Allow us to come forth and want to know more. Allow us to yearn to know more, to share, to tell, to be what it is You have called us to be. Be with us now. Prepare us for the time that is at hand. For it is in Your name we pray. Amen.